sit right back and you'll hear a tale, of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan. Nice shooting.
Why, thank you, Dr. John. We love to send that beagle down to the depths where the Titanic rests. I am Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski. We'd love to welcome you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take lighthearted looks at the serious issues of evolution and creation because it's just fun. It's fun to poke shots at that HMS and the crazy ideas of evolution that just rattle the cage of some people.
Well, yeah. Rattle our cages anyway, that's for sure.
We want to talk about people who profess to be wise or smart or think they know it all and became fools. It's kind of like reminds me of what I used to watch in the classroom, these 19-year-old males. They'd be sitting there and they're looking across the large auditorium-type classroom and they're staring and they see a girl.
Oh.
And on seeing the girl, she looks at them and their eyes meet and she kind of blushes and smiles. And he assumes she must like me. Oh, a date's coming.
And she's thinking instead, look at this guy, doesn't know he doesn't have a chance.
Snowball in Gehenna. Yeah, there we go.
How humorous. Well, and that also brings us back to a series of origins and where babies come from.
There we go. we're trying to talk about today, Stan, is assumptions, because we all make a lot of assumptions in life until we have facts that correct them.
Ah, in other words, growing up.
And yes.
Okay.
We
especially about girls, but go ahead.
Yes, we learned the hard way. Whap, whap, whap. Oh, ouch. Okay, here we go on some assumptions, though. But when you come to the assumptions of evolution, they also have assumptions about what we call the origin and descent of life.
The origin of life remains still the most difficult single issue for evolutionists to try to come up with. And as they wrestle with the problem, they do come to it with assumptions.
And we'll pick seven. There's probably more, mm-hmm. or you could maybe consolidate a little bit.
Seven's perfect.
We like the number seven. Okay. So we're going to take seven assumptions that evolutionists have of how life began and how it developed. And the first assumption that they have is that non-living things, material or inorganic things, gave life to living material things, organic things, and we often refer to that as spontaneous generation.
Yes, or abiogenesis. In other words, that something alive has come from something that was dead, like a rock somehow became warm and a puppy.
And the sad reality is that even though you have able scientists and very noted scholars, like you have Louis Pasteur, mm-hmm. and he came up and proved that no living things have to come from prior living things. You know,
yes, and they
life
used
comes
to,
from life.
Yeah, and there used to be some question about it in the Middle Ages. You know, that you would see maggots come out of meat. And things like that, and they used to think that somehow or other living things came out of dead things or non-living things. But
and all
then,
they did was cover the meat, and that solved the problem.
Flies couldn't lay eggs in them and so forth. So they never could prove that life could come from non-living things. In fact, so much so that Pasteur was able to prove a law, and the law is a law of
biogenesis, not abiogenesis. And so if you take your biology class, you fail if you hold the assumption that non-living things can give rise to living things.
You lawless person, you.
But they still believe it, or they still ultimately
Well, what
think
is the option?
So.
Well, what are
there's
the options?
There's no other option.
You have
no
to believe somewhere along the line, that law was superseded by supernatural.
Stuff.
Well, beyond nature. Well, we won't go there. Okay, we won't go there.
But from that assumption, you take a second leap of faith.
Okay.
Each assumption really is a leap of faith.
Okay.
Is that spontaneous generation occurred no more than probably twice.
Once or twice. Once if if plants are related to us truly one time, if plants started on their own, then that would be a second time. But in other words, that it's extremely rare. And here we all are. They admit it's a rare thing to try to conceive of. So we must have all had a common ancestor.
Yeah, that's the common ancestor principle.
Right, even though the fossil record isn't super supportive of a common ancestor idea.
Yeah, we all discovered in the Cambrian level there are many fingers of life,
yes,
so to speak.
Many phyla.
Many phyla, not mm-hmm. just one.
But anyway, it's an assumption.
An assumption. A third assumption is that viruses, bacteria, plants, and animals were somehow all related.
Well, now this one I can actually believe a little bit. As you look at some of the types of people living today and some of the news items, you do think that people are sort of large viruses or something.
Yeah. Parasites. And
parasites.
That was a very large parasite. I can see that.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, that kind of resonates a little more.
A fourth assumption, Stan,
yes,
is that protozoa, which are single-celled life forms, mm-hmm. they gave rise. First of all, so you have this simple cell. It gave rise to metazoa, multiple-celled life forms.
Well, again, the idea is simple to complex. There's no question that you and I, John, and especially our wives and our kids, are more complex. And so you and I are comparatively simple. But
yes, we add our wives. We have mega complexity going mega complexity.
But simple must have evolved to complex. It makes it easier to explain scientifically. The simpler, let me give you an overall view of science right now, John, and I know this will be helpful. And you
thank
might
you.
Want
I
to
need, write it down.
Write
okay.
it down.
I got
here
my
we go.
Pen. Okay,
get
ready,
the pen
go
out.
For
here
it.
Goes. Science always tries to find
SCI. Okay, thank you.
tries to come up with the simplest understanding of things. And that is that, you know, if we're related in form, if it looks like we have the same form, we must have had a common ancestor. Whether you can come up with the biological explanation of how that could happen or whatever, they just assume that it's like kind of like a morph program on your computer. You know how you morph from one image to another?
Hmm.
See how simple that is? We all morphed from an amoeba into you and me.
Oh, that explains
real simple.
A lot.
And that's simplifying. That's simplifying everything. And science generally has fallen into the trap of oversimplifying things. That is consistently
and
the problem. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
But
if you can keep it simple, it's easier to explain.
The irony is, though, is that when you even go back to the protozoa, the single cell, when science microbiologists get together and they say, okay, let's magnify, let's take a cell and make it the size of, say, Indianapolis.
Okay.
Or a major city. You basically, what they're trying to say is you could take and think of a city in the terms of all the interactive, connective
yeah.
parts, the
yeah.
different factories, the yep. different utilities,
sanitations,
the different sanitations,
yeah.
the people, the parks,
the
whole
food.
Thing. And when you go to a cell, you have all of a sudden, it's like just saying in the beginning, city occurred somehow that all this, the planes gave way all of a sudden to a complex city. With no intermediary steps of putting in the plumbing,
yeah.
nothing.
Right, right.
And it just the complexity is so, there's no simple cell. Even the most basic protozoa is so complicated.
Well, back in Darwin's day, when some of these theories were finalized, again, that's what the word cell means. It simply means box.
Box.
And so they just thought it was a box of protoplasm, some mush, kind of jello.
Yeah.
And,
well,
you know, that was the complexity.
That makes sense.
Don't say that when you're looking at me. But
jello.
But yeah, that were basically animated jello. And really, again, it's back to simple. If you can keep it simple, stupid.
What? You call me stupid?
If the shoe fits.
Okay. No. All right.
But anyway, keep it simple, and then it's easier to explain.
Well, let's move on with our assumptions here before I get too overburdened with the complexity of the topic here.
Oh, that is a difficulty we generally face.
Okay. The fifth assumption of,
yes.
of the evolutionary descent of life is that the various invertebrate files are interrelated.
Okay.
All the
sponges.
All the sponges and the clams and mm-hmm. the things of the ocean that mm-hmm. are have skeletons and then they go on to
skeletons, but
not
definitely
skeletons, but I mean,
but not, but don't
shells,
have, yeah,
that don't have skeletons,
but don't have vertebras. Yeah.
Yes. They think that somehow that these soft, squishy stuff developed hard stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're all related too.
Yeah.
And then they go from this that to the sixth assumption, which says that the invertebrates, the clams, the sponges, and all those things, the starfish and stuff, gave rise to the invertebrates gave rise to the vertebrates.
That's an assumption because vertebrates are technically, more complex, and you go from simple to complex.
Yeah.
But it's interesting I've got
on
a
the
fossil
inside instead of the shell on the outside.
I've got a fossil of what's called a haikuella, and haikuella is a vertebrate fossil that comes from the Cambrian period, and it represents the first vertebrate fossil, first life form. Kind of looks like a floating sort of, slug with a backbone or something.
With a backbone.
Image. Watch it. Let's not go into politics right now.
Yes.
But anyway.
No, they don't have backbones. Don't worry. They're just slugs. Leeches and slugs.
We can only pray for evolution, yes. Backbones come. But anyway, so the point is, at the very earliest level of the fossil order, we have vertebrates, and that's a problem. To see them a little
farther up, developed, a little
more.
Yes. The final assumption is that within the vertebrates, the backbone, the fish gave rise to amphibians to reptiles, and reptiles to birds and mammals. In other words, all of a sudden they go flash in the pan, all the rest of the stuff comes along.
Yeah, once you got the backbone, let's go, man. Let's go. You go this way, go long.
Yeah.
So all of these, and really, John, what this amounts to is homology, and homology is the idea, the study of similar structures. So similar structures represent...
They must have come from the same ancestor.
Yeah, exactly. Similar structures. So here on Sink the Beagle, we are all homolophobes, actually.
Yes. We don't
hold to homology too much. But anyway,
we don't think
homology is biblical.
We have a torpedo text because...
We
have one assumption as creationists.
We just have one main one that
I think kind of covers it all. We don't have to go through this.
Well, we think that life did go from simple to complex, male to female.
Yes. Okay, yes, that one. Okay, we have two. But let's go to the original assumption found in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. This is our assumption as creationists.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it?
It is. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible.
So we believe that our one assumption is God.
Is God.
And his creative power to speak things into existence.
And not limited by the things that are seen.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
them out of anything.
We make it real easy. We go from, they have seven, we got one.
And the other thing you might tack on to this, John, is the idea of, you can find it in the book of Job or in Ecclesiastes 3, that man isn't fully capable of understanding all these things. We don't have enough gray matter, enough jello between the left and the right eardrums to understand fully how God does it.
And how he can do it and why he did it. And we, on our own, apart from him giving us this information of in Scripture, we wouldn't know where we came from. We would have no clue as to what
existence
was.
We come up with evolution is what we, things just sort of became the way they are from rocks on.
And that's the trials that all the uninformed face. And that's, this is really what you have when you have the assumptions of evolutionary descent of life. You have the speculations of the uninformed or the limited informed. I say limited informed. They ignore a whole plausibility, a possibility, and the plausibility of things that they can't measure, can't control, and can't.
Science can't get it into a laboratory, so therefore they assume it can't happen then.
Yep, and you keep God out, you keep the supernatural out, and we basically have to figure it out on our own. And this is the best they can do. And at each step of the way, we find it to be a dead end.
Yep. And thank the Lord for the Bible and Revelation and the information we can enjoy.
So tune in again to another
Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Island.